Hello and welcome to Columbia Evangelical Seminary, Writing Protocols Class, Punctuation, Grammar, and Academic Style. My name is Rick Walston, I'm your audio professor. The year is 2005. We are now on lecture number 4, Grammatical Odds and Ends. We're going to start with the danglers. Remember, a participle is a verbal adjective. Participles are words that combine characteristics of verbs with those of adjectives. Example, the flying squirrel is brown. Now, your first thought may be that flying is a verb. However, in the phrase, in this phrase, flying describes or modifies squirrel, so it acts as an adjective, a verbal adjective, which is called a participle. When a sentence begins with a participial phrase, the understood subject of the participle must be the same as the subject of the sentence. Now, that line you want to underline, highlight, memorize, something. Let me read it again. It says, when a sentence begins with a participial phrase, the understood subject of the participle must be the same as the subject of the sentence. Example, working hard all night, the job became tiresome for the boy. That's incorrect. Why? Because the job is not working hard all night. You see, the working hard all night is a participial phrase, then there's a comma. The first thing that should come after that participial phrase and comma is the subject who is doing the action. So, the correct way would be working hard all night, comma, the boy became tired. All right? Because the job was not working hard all night, it was the boy who was working hard all night. So be sure to start the second clause with the same implied subject as in the participial phrase. The same is true of a sentence that begins with a past participle. Having worked hard all night, the boy became quite tired. Now, I've found that over the years, sometimes the best way to see dangling modifiers is if you can see some that are funny. And here are a few. This first one is a real email I once got from a woman complaining about her internet connection. She wrote, I keep getting knocked offline while I sit and work for no apparent reason. Now, I've done that myself. I mean, I've sat and worked for no apparent reason for hours on end, it seems. You get the point? For no apparent reason is misplaced. The words for no apparent reason should go after the word line. I keep getting knocked offline for no apparent reason while I sit and work, and there should be no comma there either. Here are some other funny ones, some other funny examples that I culled from the from various web pages. At the beginning of the novel, Tom Joad comes across a turtle on his way home from spending 4 years in prison. Well, it makes you wonder what the turtle did to spend 4 years in prison, right? Kicking and screaming, the dentist pulled the girl's tooth. I've had some pretty bad dentists in my life, but I've never had one kicking and screaming. He struck the fishbowl with his head, which, fortunately, was empty. I love this one. I think it's a dangling modifier, but of course it is. It's the fishbowl that should have been empty, not his head. The clerk sold the picture to the tall lady in the golden frame. Well, do you get the picture in your mind? A woman walking around, tall lady, she's got her own golden frame. Apparently she carries around with her and she stands inside of it, apparently. Elizabeth Taylor appeared at the gala with her latest boyfriend dazzling in a sequined gown. Well, I don't think that boyfriends should be in sequined gowns myself. The family lawyer will read the will tomorrow at the residence of Mr. Hannon, who died June 19 to accommodate his relatives. That was nice of him. Do you see how these humorous uses, misuses of the modifiers, the dangling modifiers throughout here, show you how you should put the words together so that they're not incorrect, and sometimes humorous? The burglar was about 30 years old, white, 5'10", with wavy hair, weighing about 150 pounds. That's kind of a Samson hairdo, apparently, because that's a lot of weight for a wavy hair. Now, the next one. Hunting can also be dangerous, as in the case of pygmies hunting elephants armed only with spears. You see that picture? I just see these elephants running around with their spears. We spent most of our time sitting on the back porch watching the cows playing Scrabble and reading. That's probably better than most people can do. Those cows have to have pretty good IQs to be able to do that. Organ donations from the living reached a record high last year, outnumbering donors who are dead for the first time. Yeah, I'm not sure what to do with that one. All right. So gerunds, that was participles as participial phrases as danglers. The same thing happens with the gerund. Remember that a gerund is a verbal noun. Gerunds end in ing and function as nouns. Example, everyone liked Mike's singing. Notice singing in the sentence is not the verb. Liked is the verb, singing is acting as a noun. When a sentence begins with a gerund phrase or gerundi phrase, the understood subject of the gerund must be the same as the subject of the sentence. It's the same thing as before, but now we're using gerundi phrases rather than participial phrases. Here's an example. This is an example of an incorrect one. Preaching might satisfy the desire for public speaking that you have. Correct would be, preaching might satisfy your desire for public speaking. You see, the desire is not the one doing the preaching. The implied subject of the gerund must be the first subject following the gerundi phrase. And the same thing happens with infinitive phrases. Remember, the infinitive is a to verb. The word to with any verb, root verb, to jump, to run, to eat, to talk, to swim. When sentences begin with the infinitive phrase, the understood or implied subject of the infinitive phrase must be the same as the subject of the sentence. For example, to run fast, shoes must be light. Well, your shoes aren't the ones that are running fast. You are running fast. So, to run fast, you must wear light shoes. Dependent clauses as danglers. Remember, a dependent clause typically cannot stand alone. It's not a complete thought. When a sentence begins with a dependent clause, the understood or implied subject of the independent clause must be the same as the subject of the sentence. Here's an incorrect example. After reading Bob's book, his argument was still not convincing. Again, his argument was not the one reading the book. So you look at the first part of the phrase and you see the word, the verb. Find the verb and ask who's doing the verb. And whoever is doing the verb must be the first thing mentioned in the sentence that follows the comma. So after reading Bob's book, I was still not convinced by his argument. And then subject and verb agreement. Plural subjects take plural verbs. For example, the computers are here. Computers and are both plural. Compound subjects take plural verbs. The computer and desk are here. It's only one computer and only one desk, but the two of them together is a compound subject, and that would be used, a plural verb would be used with that. C, words which are connected to the subject by such phrases as accompanied by, together with, along with, as well as, do not change the number. So, the computer, along with the desk, is here. Notice, the computer is here. Along with the desk does not change the number of the verb to the first subject. D, when two or more subjects are connected by or nor, they take a single verb. Incorrect. Neither the computer nor the desk are here. It would be neither the computer nor the desk is here. So it's computer is, desk is. Here's another one that's incorrect. Are either the computer or the desk here? It would be is either the computer or the desk here. When sentences begin with expletives, here or there, they get their number from the number of what follows after the verb. For example, there is one computer. There are four computers in the room. Collective nouns can be singular or plural, and this gets kind of sticky here. Our school is governed by a board, but is the word board singular or plural? Should I say the board are having their meeting, or should I say the board is having its meeting? Both are correct, but we have to pick one and be consistent. The same is true of other collective nouns like faculty and staff. I would say the board is having its meeting. Or I would rewrite it to say the board members are having their meeting. G, remember that words such as each, neither, either, someone, somebody, anyone, anybody, everyone, everybody, no one, and one are always singular. So, look at this one. It is an incorrect line. Everyone is doing their thing. We've heard people talk like that. People talk like that all the time. Everyone is doing their thing, but that's incorrect because everyone is singular and there is plural. The correct way would be to say, everyone is doing his thing, or everyone is doing her thing. Next, parallel structure and consistency. Good writing uses parallel structure to balance two or more similar words, phrases, or clauses. Good writing is also consistent. Each sentence and each paragraph in the final draft of your work should move smoothly without confusing shifts in tense, number, or person. It is imperative to be familiar with parallelism and consistency. However, even the best writers know that their first draft is only that. It's just a draft. When I put together my first draft of any manuscript or paper or article that I'm writing, I know that the first draft is just that. It's a draft. Good writers are rewriters. So you have to first write your first draft and then go back and revise it, looking for any problems with parallelism and consistency, and then rewrite accordingly. Let's take a look at some parallel structure. example of a wrong way that it's done. We had a good time hunting, fishing, and we hiked up mountains. This is not parallel structure. It is the mixing of two gerunds, hunting and fishing, with a verb, hiked. Look, hunting is a gerund, fishing, gerund, hiked is a verb. So what do we want to do, right? What we have right now is gerund, gerund, verb. What we want is gerund, gerund, gerund. So we would change it to say we had a good time hunting, fishing, and hiking. Now we have gerund, gerund, gerund. That's called parallelism. Here's another example of wrong. The pastor was funny, bright, and he spoke well. This is the mixing of two adjectives with a verb. Funny is an adjective, bright is an adjective, but spoke is a verb. So we have adjective, adjective, verb. What we want is adjective, adjective, adjective to make it parallel. So here's the example of the right way to do it. The pastor was funny, bright, and articulate. Now we have adjective, adjective, adjective. And now we have parallelism. Here's another example of wrong. The Bible is God's word. The Bible is God's word, the Christian's nourishment, and it gives answers to the doubters. Now we have the first word is a noun, the second word, nourishment, is a noun, but then it says, then we go to gives, which is a verb. So right now we have noun, noun, verb. What we want is noun, noun, noun. I'm going to ask you, can you come up with a parallel construction for this one? The Bible is God's word, the Christian's nourishment, and take some time to think through that one. It's a tough one, but you can come up with something. All right, consistent voice of the verb. Look at the wrong one, first of all. The boy ran out of the house and was taken to the hospital. The boy ran is active voice. Was taken is passive voice. So now we've shifted from active to passive voice. We want to correct that and say the boy ran out of the house and the ambulance took him to the hospital. Now it's active, active. The next one. The wife took the car, but it was bought by the husband. Again, we move from active to passive voice. We don't want to do that. We want to stay constantly in the active voice. The wife took the car, which her husband had bought, would be the correct way. Here's another one that's wrong. Knighthood was conferred upon Randy by the Queen when he went to England. Now we've shifted from passive to active voice. Was conferred is passive. He went is active. But we want to make it all active voice, remember. We want to stay away from the passive. So the correct way would be the Queen conferred knighthood upon Randy when he went to England. All right, next. Consistent person. Establish viewpoint and stick with it. If you start with first person, that is I, me, my, we, our, then stay with first person. If you start with second person, that is you, then stay with it. If third person, that would be he, they, she, then stay with that. Do not shift persons. Now, every Christian, look at here as an example, every Christian should believe that the Bible, should believe the Bible, and you should read it every day. Here we shift from third person, every Christian, to second person, which is you. Now, in academic writing, of course, what you're going to be doing for CES, this is a little less problematic because you should never use first or second person anyway. You're only going to stay in third person. In fact, William Zenzer makes this point in his book when he says colleges don't want I in their term papers or dissertations, and he's right. When you write an academic paper for Columbia Evangelical Seminary, do not refer to yourself. Don't use I or me or my or even we. Also, do not address, that is, do not speak directly to your reader by saying you. Also, some writers will skip the you, but they'll still say, consider the following 3 points. Well, when you say consider the following 3 points, you put it in the imperative and you're actually telling your reader what to do. So do not speak to your reader either with the use of the word you nor the implied you. Here's an example of wrong. In my research, I have discovered that the Bible is the most accurate book in the world, and you should read it every day if you're going to grow in the Lord. In this sentence, the writer has referred to himself in the first person personal pronouns, and he has addressed or spoken directly to his reader. So you don't want to do that in academic writing. You want to write in all third person. Now, consistent number. Here's a wrong example. The preacher was saying that if each Christian, what is that? Singular or plural? It's singular. That if each Christian is to grow spiritually, then we must learn to study the Bible. Or you could also show it inaccurately by saying, the preacher was saying that if each Christian is to grow spiritually, then they must learn to study the Bible. Either one is incorrect. Each, you see, is singular, and we or they is plural. So not only do we shift number here, but did you notice we also shifted person? We started out with third person, that is each Christian, and then we shifted to first person, that's we. So here's the correct way. The preacher was saying that if Christians are to grow spiritually, then they must learn to study the Bible. That's one of the best ways to avoid the issue of the PC issue of whether we should write he, she, or he, and that whole issue. Just if you pluralize it, then you would make it that a non-issue. Here's another example of wrong. Everyone should learn what it is that God wants them to do. Again, everyone is singular and them is plural. So you'd have to write, everyone should learn what it is that God wants him to do, or everyone should learn what it is that God wants her to do. Again, in Columbia Evangelical Seminary, when you do academic papers, please do not do the him or her, the he or she, or the he/she, and all that sort of thing. Just use he or go to the plural. Here's another example of wrong. The fruit of the Spirit are 9 qualities which every Christian, if not every person, should incorporate into their life. Now, this one's pretty messed up. Did you catch all the problems here? Let's look at it again. The fruit of the Spirit are 9 qualities which every Christian, if not every person, should incorporate into their life. The first set is correct. Fruit are. But then notice that the writer is speaking of Christians and persons in the singular. Every Christian and every person. These are both singular. Then he switches to the plural when he uses the pronoun there. Then he shifts back to the singular when he writes the word life. So he goes from singular to plural, back to singular. There are 2 ways to correct this. You can keep it singular throughout or make it plural throughout. Here's the correct singular. The fruit of the Spirit are 9 qualities which every Christian, if not every person, should incorporate into his life or her life. The correct plural. The fruit of the Spirit are 9 qualities which all Christians, if not all people, should incorporate into their lives. All right, and then consistent tense. Sometimes writers shift verb tenses from past to present, from present to future, etc. Be sure to stay consistent with your tenses. Here's an inconsistent example. We walked into the church just as the pastor began to preach. The consistent would be, we walked into the church just as the pastor, we walked, ED, into the church, past tense, just as the pastor began to preach. See, the first one was we walk into the church, which is present tense, and then as the pastor began to preach is past tense. So now we just moved it to past tense, walked and preached, or began to preach. The consistent present tense is we walk into the church just as the pastor begins to preach. Here's another inconsistent. I opened the door and Mike is just standing there. It should be I opened the door and Mike was just standing there, or I opened the door and Mike is just standing there. Consistency, however, does not mean slavishly using the same tense throughout. It means using the same tense where appropriate. You may and must vary the tense to reflect the distinction of time that you intend. For example, I could say, when I was much younger, I spent my time racing cars, but now I just sit on the couch and watch the car races on TV. Now, this is not an example of an inconsistent tense. It's rather an example of how tense can be used properly to reflect the distinction of time that you want your reader to understand. Well, now we've reached exercise for lecture number 4. So what you're going to do is you're going to turn off the tape. You're going to do the exercise for lecture 4, then turn the tape back on, and then I will give you the answers, and you can see how well you've done. So do that at this time. Turn off the tape and do the exercise. All right, we're back. I hope that wasn't too difficult for you. Lecture 4, exercise. First one is issues of dangling modifiers. Fix these sentences. Number 1, having finished all the work, the TV was turned on. So this is saying then that the TV did all the work. What you want to say is, having finished all the work, I turned the TV on. Number 2, let me see something here. Okay. Number 2, after reading the entire book, the argument remains unconvincing. Again, the argument was not the one reading the entire book. So after reading the entire book, that's the first thing you want to do. Ask yourself who is doing the action in the first part, and then whoever that is, that person or that thing must be the first thing stated after the comma. After reading the book, I was still unconvinced by his argument. Number three, walking to the store in sub-zero temperatures, my nose got frostbite. My nose was walking to the store in sub-zero temperatures? No, I was doing the walking. So again, walking to the store in sub-zero temperatures, I got frostbite on my nose. So what you want to do is, as I said, you want to find the implied subject in the first part of the sentence and then immediately put that after. Now, it may be, you might go, well, this is awkward. I don't know what to write there. Well, what you do know you need to write is the subject that is doing the action. So that's the first thing. So put I there and then figure out after that how else it should be written. But the first thing has to be that subject doing the action. Number four, as a child, my mother took me to the circus. My mother was a child when she took me to the circus? No, I was a child. So as a child, I went to the circus with my mother. Number five, every student needs to hand in their papers by Friday. Hand their papers in by Friday. Well, we need to fix this by making this, every student is what? Singular. Needs to hand in his paper, not papers, by Friday. So, every student needs to hand his paper in by Friday, or her paper in by Friday. Now, issues of subject-verb agreement. Circle the correct answer. The academic curriculum of research and writing often confuses new students. This one might have caught you. Because you have curriculum is really the subject here. The curriculum confuses, not the curriculum confuse. But you might have thought research and writing confuses. And that's the trick. See the of? That then sets up a prepositional phrase. So what you can do is you can actually put a parenthesis around before the of and after the often. And it should say the academic curriculum confuses new students. The of research and writing is just a prepositional phrase for more clarification. So the first one, or number six, is confuses. The number seven, the horse and rider have just come into the arena. Number eight, good communication plays a key role. Okay, good communication among business partners plays a key role. Then there were only 15 students in Rick's grammar class. Number 10, either the car or the bikes need to go. Now, why is it need? Because bikes is plural. And when you have the or nor, you get your verb number by the last part of this of the compound subject. Bikes need to go. But if you reverse this, either the bikes or the car needs to go. Now why is the needs? Well, now why are we using the singular verb? Because car is singular there. Now if it were both the bikes and the car, then it would be need because the and makes a compound subject. And then that goes with a plural verb. All right, issues of parallel structure. Fix these sentences. His arguments were boring, childish, and demonstrated his ignorance. Well, what's wrong with that? Well, boring, childish, and ignorant. That's what we want to change it to. His arguments were boring, childish, and ignorant. 13, Robert walked late into the evening to, worked. Robert worked late into the evening to catch up on his reading and to write his paper. What are we going to do with that? Robert worked late into the evening to catch up on his reading and writing. All right, issues of consistent person. If a person does aerobics, then you will develop a stronger heart. Well, if a person, that's third person, and you then is second person. So you see that shift from third person to second person? So we want to say, if a person does aerobics, then he will develop a stronger heart. Or you can say, if you do aerobics, then you will develop a stronger heart. Keeping the person consistent. Number 15, of course, if we had no grammatical skills, you would not be able to understand each other. If we, what is that? That is first person. And then we shift to second person when we say you. So what we want to do is say, if we had no grammatical standards, we would not be able to understand each other. Or you could change it to, if you had no grammatical standards, you would not be able to understand each other. Either way. Next, issues of consistent number. 16, the seminary students study philosophy and strengthen their mind. What's wrong with this? Well, if they're students, then they don't have one mind, they have minds. So you simply need an S at the end of minds. So the seminary students study philosophy and strengthen their minds because they each have a mind and together it's plural. Number 17, the seminary graduates have their degree in divinity. No, the seminary graduates have their degrees in divinity. So it's an S on degrees. Number 18, the real problem is that everyone feels that they are a definitive source of correctness. What's the problem here? Well, everyone is singular, and they and are plural. So we need to change it to the real problem is that everyone feels that he is a definitive source of correctness. All right? You could also change it to the plural. You could say the real problem is that all people feel that they are a definitive source of correctness. Okay, and then issues of consistent tense. 19, I was walking down Front Street the other day when a guy comes up to me and asks me for the time. What's wrong with this? I was walking, present tense, but comes up, I was walking, past tense, guy comes up, present tense, and asks. What we want to change it to is all past tense. I was walking down Front Street the other day when a guy came up to me and asked ED me for the time. Number 20. So, Brad and I went fishing last week, and he catches his limit, and I catch nothing. What's wrong with this? Well, we start out with the past and then end up with present. So we want to change it all to past. So Brad and I went fishing last week, and he caught his limit, and I caught nothing. All right. Well, again, like I've said in the other lectures, if you've done 90% or better, then move on to Lecture 5, the final lecture. And if you haven't done 90% or better in this, then go back over the lecture and take the exam, the little quiz, actually not exam, take the quiz again and go through it again until you get up to 90% or better, and then move on to Lecture number 5. Thank you, and we'll see you in Lecture 5.